If you lost Survivor and you're feeling down, David and Jessica will turn it around. They'll break down the rules and they'll show you how. You played yourself and got voted out. This is why Blank lost. And this is why Blank lost. Oh baby, this is why Blank lost.
Welcome to a double episode of Why Blank Lost. I'm David Bloomberg, and I was a little worried that my co-host Jessica Lewis was reliving her trauma while watching the second hour Wednesday night with so much discussion of a rock draw, especially pertaining to David Wright.
Mm-hmm. That was a little bit much. I was, you know, the sweats were coming back, and I was breathing a little bit heavy, and I was really falling back into that moment. That was a lot to have to sit through, I must say. I did not enjoy that, but I really, honestly, I wanted to like, not that anyone should necessarily go to Rocks, but I had this desire to like start poking fun at all of them because they weren't willing to go to Rocks. Like yeah. They all were like, yeah, no, we're not going to do that. I just wanted to give them a little bit of guff for not doing it, but I understand entirely why they didn't.
Yeah. Now, you know, one reason they didn't is because they all got up and talked to each other in the middle. Don't you wish the idea of everyone getting up and whispering in each other's ears was more out there in the Survivor mindset during your season?
Listen, I am still frustrated that we didn't do that. That hadn't happened yet. I think it was the following season when someone finally actually got up. There seemed to be such a very significant reason for where you were sitting, and like, You and the producers were really like, that's where you're sitting. You need to know where you're sitting. And so it was almost like you were afraid to move from that spot because, God, I wanted to go talk to Will so bad. Mm-hmm. But he was all the way on the other end. And I still kind of relive that in my brain. If only I had just said, you know what? Forget it. I'm getting up. I'm going to go talk to Will. Maybe things would be completely different. But unfortunately, that wasn't a thing that people were doing. And now it's a thing people do all the time.
Yeah. So for people who might not remember, this was actually brought up on the recap show this week with Gabby, and they were discussing how Will has said afterwards that he was going to flip, but then he saw how distraught you were and he was afraid you were going to flip the other way. And so it would have just retied the situation. So, yeah, if the two of you could have talked.
Oh, my God.
That would have solved everything.
That would have been amazing. But he was so far away. Yeah. So, you know, but this is a much different Survivor world that we all find ourselves in. And it's not even like, it's not even whispering anymore. I mean, it's like at least this past episode that we saw, they were just talking out loud. And Wendy seemed very uncomfortable because no one was talking to Wendy. Everyone was talking around Wendy. It was an interesting thing to watch. That's for sure. Really, really fascinating.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, last week we said that on a four person tribe, there is no place to hide mm-hmm. when you go to tribal council.
Right.
Well, little did we know that, well, first the Kelly Wardog Lauren trio would start to implode. And more importantly, as we were just discussing, they wouldn't go to a tribal council as a group of just four players anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm so happy, actually, that the groups that did go to tribal council, that there wasn't even 4-4 split, because that just made it more fun to watch. If it had been, you know, the 5-4, if those are the two tribes that were going, that wouldn't have been so much fun.
No, then we would have just lost another Lesu.
Yeah.
But, you know, last time Survivor pulled this twist, of course, Malcolm was voted out.
Oh, yes.
And it was one of the very rare times, maybe the only time, I've said someone lost because they were screwed by a twist.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as I hate the fact that they brought back this twist again, I can say we will not have a repeat of that conclusion this time, because unlike Malcolm, Wendy did plenty of things wrong. And spoiler. More importantly, unlike Malcolm, if this twist hadn't occurred and her tribe had gone to tribal council alone, she still would have been voted off.
Mm.
So, you know, the twist may have saved someone on Lesu if they had gone to tribal council alone. You know, maybe Wardog would have been the target. But it didn't hurt Wendy in the same way it completely destroyed Malcolm last time.
It really did. Poor Malcolm. That was hard to watch for sure.
Yeah. So he was also having flashbacks as he watched this episode based on what I saw on Twitter.
Yes, it is. It's so frustrating when you've actually experienced that moment. And David even talked about it, too. He said as a fan, watching the players go to rocks is kind of like invigorating and it's exciting. But as an actual player, it's not like that at all. It's really not.
Really?
It's a completely opposite effect. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's definitely the opposite effect there.
I thought you looked totally invigorated and exciting in that scene, before you drew the rock.
Yeah, of course. I was really loving every moment of that. Yeah. But yes, lots of discussions of going to rocks, lots and lots of discussions. So that was a big part of the episode for sure.
Yeah. And of course, you know, that ended up with Wendy leaving in that in the end of that episode. And so, you know, speaking of her and the way she went and the way she would have gone, Mike Herms on Twitter asked us to please just have empty air for 15 minutes to explain her game, because that's what her game was. And
that's really kind of funny, but mean at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah, and as amusing as that sounds, I don't think 15 minutes of dead air is exactly podcast gold.
Yeah, I would say no.
And we have to remember that we talk about both the bad and the good for players. So we definitely have more than silence for Wendy.
Yes.
I also want to remind everyone that, as I say in the introduction to my rules, they are premised, and this podcast is premised, on the idea that a player wants to actually win the game.
Yeah.
So that's how we judge players, not based on their personalities or if they were, quote unquote, good TV. You don't score extra points with us in this particular podcast for being fun to watch or being nice, unless you're nice in terms of, you know, your survivor interactions.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody should take away from this podcast that we don't like someone on a personal level just because we criticize the hell out of their game.
Wendy, you better get ready. I think it's coming.
Yeah.
This is like his prelude to Wendy.
Yeah.
We should add, too, you haven't even mentioned that our predictions, we were each half right.
Oh, that's right. That's mm-hmm. right.
We were both half right.
Okay. So, and the half for both of us that didn't come true was David.
Yes, thank God. Thank God, David. I have heart palpitations just watching him because I'm so scared for him. So scared.
Are you as scared for him as he was in the first few days on your tribe?
Oh, my gosh. He was so scared. Yeah, he was quite fun to watch. I mean, and he actually talked about it in one of his web confessionals, how in his first season of Survivor, he was running away from birds, and he really was running away from birds. I can confirm that that was happening. So it's really it's great to see the change that he's now brought to the game, because he's not the scared David that he was in the first season he played, because he figured out that, yeah, he can win this game, which is incredible, because he did not feel that way when he started. But he realized quickly that he was really good at it. And God damn. And he even said in his web confessional that if he had made it to day 39, he's been told that he would have won. And people in the jury, you know, said, you know, you would have won. And yes, David, I can tell you would have won. So, So poor David, because he really was just one day shy of winning $1 million. He really was.
Yeah. Well, he's still in there now.
Yeah.
So, speaking of last week's podcast, after that podcast went out, both Wardog and Kelly tweeted to indicate that, well, we got it right.
Yes.
Which, of course, is always gratifying.
That was so exciting. Thank you, Kelly, for even pinpointing the time.
That's wonderful.
Right. I appreciated that so much.
And, you know, that's what we strive to do. We put together all the pieces in a rational way, using not only what we see on TV, but also what other non-spoiler information we have, like web clips, Twitter press conferences with contestants, etc. And, you know, by digging in and comparing that information against the rules that I originally wrote after the first season and have been updating ever since, which, by the way, people can find at robhasawebsite.com/survivor38rules, we hopefully can look more deeply into what is going on to get those right answers. And this week, figure out why Aubrey and Wendy lost.
It's going to be a sad podcast.
Well, okay. We'll see.
Well, because we didn't want Aubrey to go home. We talked about that last week, even though she was one of your predictions.
I think it's
sad for everybody who watched it and everyone who had to experience it, because everybody loves Aubrey.
Yeah. Well, not everybody. There are some who don't.
And that's true. Okay.
There's nobody anywhere who is universally loved. There are even some people who don't love me.
I find that hard to believe.
I know. There's only like one or two of them anywhere, but.
Well, no, we got a lot to get through.
Yes, we do. So we'll start with the first rule, which, of course, is to scheme and plot. And one of the players we're talking about today followed this rule. The other did not. And I'm betting that listeners can guess which is which. One thing we've discussed before is that just because you're strategizing doesn't mean everyone else isn't strategizing. And that's a solid part of the problem Aubrey encountered with this rule.
Yeah.
She is used to playing from the bottom and being a bit paranoid and neurotic. Early in the game on Original Comma, she had a read that she could be in trouble, even though she said in a web confessional from episode 3 that she felt completely blind with the newbies because her experience as a returnee caused isolation. Or I say even though, maybe because of that in part. If she had gone to tribal council with an idol at that time, I have no doubt she would have used it. But they didn't need to go to tribal council for another 6 days. And during that time, she felt like she scored a breakthrough and made some allies. But her tribe mates, especially Victoria, did a great job of putting her at ease and making her think that there was another plan. In fact, two different plans to choose from. As Stephen Fishback said in his blog, the best way to blindside someone is to involve them in a fake plot to blindside someone else. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Victoria played it to perfection, even telling Aubrey that she was the only person she trusted. That was exactly what Aubrey was looking for. And, you know, while she never got arrogant or cocky like some players do before we see them get blindsided in epic fashion, she did get a little comfortable. She let her guard down. And as Rob and Gabby said on the recap show, she needed to keep up that neuroticism.
Yeah.
You know, there's a saying, paranoia will destroy you. But in some cases, paranoia can save you.
Well, and that's the thing that I find so frustrating about how she ended up going home, was that the Aubrey that we saw at the beginning was that fighting and playing from the bottom. And that's what she said in the episode, that's what she's accustomed to. And I wish that she had not let go of that, because she and Joe knew, and they discussed it, how they were both the targets. And I realize Victoria did a phenomenal job, and kudos to Victoria for putting on such a good show, and Gavin for really kind of backing it up when they were at Tribal. But I don't know why her spidey senses didn't go up at all, because all of a sudden everybody loved Aubrey. You know, it went from, she felt like she was like isolated, and because she was a returnee, and then she was a target, and that she and Joe really had to watch their backs. And she went from that to all of a sudden she's everybody's best friend. And that didn't nothing. No, there was no spidey sense about it from her at all, where she was kind of going, maybe this is too good to be true. Especially in the conversation that they had with Wendy, when Wendy was like clueless and didn't even give an answer. And so I feel like Aubrey wasn't coming from a place of a returning player in her response to all of that, because I feel like as a returning player, you should be more inclined to question people's motives and less inclined to just be excited to finally get to play the game. That seems more like a non-returning kind of response, you know? And so I was surprised to see her kind of fall for that so heavily. And yes, Victoria did a great job, but it just, to me, didn't feel like Aubrey. And I don't know why she ended up falling for it so hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah. Now, you had a couple of different things in there, and I think, you know, one of them, I think she got taken in by this plot was that she had only seen them all be comma strong, and seemed to assume that they weren't really playing the game.
Yeah.
So it seemed like such a revelation when Victoria came to her. You know, the heavens opened up, angels were singing, and
chickens were flying. You know,
chickens were flying. We'll get to that later. But as Stephen also said in his blog on Survivor, you should always assume everyone has a plan. If you don't know what it is, you're probably the target.
Yes. Yes.
So I think, yes, you're right. But I also credit Victoria. And because, like, as Aubrey said, after the votes were read, you guys are unbelievable players.
Yeah. And I don't discredit their play. I really don't. I think they did a phenomenal job. But I just, it shocks me that she was talking about, Aubrey was talking about in a web confessional with the idol and her plans for the idol and when she was going to use it, how she wanted it to be like this really incredible plan. And, you know, where she would probably try to get the votes on her and then she would use the idol. And she had this like this master plan all built in her brain for how she was going to play this idol when she should have just been like, I'm going to use this to save my own ass, you know, or like, let's just keep it simple. And in that moment when, and I realize again, Victoria and everybody did a great job really making her feel comfortable. But sometimes you're better off not planning for something that you don't know is going to happen. Like, she wanted it to be this grand moment for her game when she played this idol, instead of just looking at it going, maybe I should just make sure I'm safe, you know, and maybe I shouldn't buy into everything I'm being told, because man, they're selling me a lot of goods right now. And you know, and that's the way I saw it, is that even, I mean, and Gavin, especially when he started talking at Tribal, like I feel like he was really above, like it was almost like mushy when he was talking about how much he liked Aubrey and how great she is to play with. And I hadn't seen him responding to her like that at all. And maybe again, it's editing, who knows, but it never seemed like they had that kind of relationship. And now all of a sudden he's like, she's like my best friend and I want to play this game with her. And she's great. And I don't know. I just, to me was like, it's too oversold. It's too much. But again, that was the way I saw it as someone watching. I wasn't sitting where Aubrey was sitting. And I just, it would have been so great if just for one second, if she had said, you know what? I feel like something's not right here. It's too good to be true.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, you know, you said that what we saw, we hadn't seen from Gavin before. I mean, how many times had we seen Gavin before? This was their first tribal council.
Yes. And
you know,
that
we
is
had
true.
Seen them for maybe a grand total of, you know, 5 minutes throughout the whole first part of the season so far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, then, and you don't see everything, obviously. And we get parts of stories and not complete stories. But I just feel like there was enough there, you know, the Wendy thing and then the.
So about the Wendy thing, that was the second part I was going to bring up. I don't know. Maybe it's because of my opinion. Well, it's totally because of my opinions on Wendy. But but yeah, I know you should never assume that other players aren't really playing, as we just discussed. I feel like almost anyone would have assumed that Wendy really wasn't playing.
Yeah.
So I find it hard to fault Aubrey in this specific instance. I think it's just too much hindsight to say Aubrey should have realized that Wendy, of all people, was in on a plan to oust her. And that's why Wendy was hemming and hawing, when it seemed much more likely that Wendy was hemming and hawing because she was like, oh, wait, there's a game.
Well, but this is my question about that, though. Didn't Victoria come to Aubrey to say, we're going to do an all girls thing and we're going to target Eric? That was supposed to be the selling.
That was one of the plans. Yeah.
So then when they talked to Wendy, it didn't even appear as if that was the suggestion, that we're going to do this all girls thing and we're going to target Eric. And, you know, so it just, to me, felt like it was disjointed, that like Victoria's like, this is what we're going to do. And this is, you know, this is the plan that we've got. But then when they talked to Wendy, it was kind of like, eh. Yeah, well, whatever, because Wendy didn't really give an answer. So then did it turn back to now we're just going to vote out Wendy? I mean, like that to me, it seemed very like something was missing.
Yeah. You know, I think it was that they approached Wendy and said, do you want to go after one of the guys? And she was like, I don't know, which lots of people on Twitter mocked because it's like, well, you have two choices.
Yeah.
Either go after one of the guys or go after the people who are talking to you right now.
Right.
So, you know, as I frequently say, when someone asks if you want to be in the alliance, you say yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, we would, you know, perhaps join in the mocking of her for that. But it appears that she might have been in on the plan and she simply was just unable to lie.
And that's quite possible. That is definitely possible.
So, which is actually a good segue to discussing Wendy herself, because I think Rob had a good short summary of Wendy 2 weeks ago on Know It Alls when he said, Wendy is the opposite of a game bot. I just think that sums it up. Whatever a game bot would do, Wendy will not, and vice versa. You know, so just look at the discussion that we were just talking about. Anyone with an ounce of strategy would have had an answer ready when they asked if she was good with targeting the guys.
Right.
Wendy didn't.
Yeah.
Why? Because I'm not sure she even knew she's playing a game.
Yeah, but didn't you see her web confessional when she talked about being a master strategist?
Oh, we'll get to that. Believe me.
That was my favorite.
Actually, yeah. That started in her Getting to Know You video where she said she liked Michaela, but she knows she didn't last long because she showed her true self too soon. And so she was going to avoid that by starting slow in the beginning and being seen as ditzy, then show off her true, smarter self. And, well, okay, if that's what she was doing, she did a very good job of being seen in that light.
Yeah, but it's certainly not going to help ingratiate you at all to your tribe if that's how you've presented yourself. And then all of a sudden, if you want to become this master strategist and start playing the game, you've already lost all of the people who you could potentially be playing with. You know,
well, you know, that don't you dare question Wendy's strategy, because she followed up in the web confessional you're talking about by saying she hopes Lesu recognizes she's a force to be reckoned with and not just a dummy vote. You know, that she is actually playing the game. She wants Kama to realize they can use her, and she has a good chance to beat them all because she came in pretending to be a dumb player, and then she wanted to come out of nowhere and be strategic, but she was going to be subtle about it to avoid that problem that you were talking about. She wanted to keep up the facade that she's dumb, but she would really be pulling all the strings.
I would have loved to have seen that, because if she That's like some magic right there. That's absolute magic. That would have been incredible.
Because the problem is we never saw any real indication of this other string pulling Wendy either in the game or in confessionals. Instead, we saw her, you know, we saw her saying things like, I trust Keith more than anyone, just before Keith votes against her. We see her talking about wanting to go against Kelly and then brazenly doing so instead of like secretly plotting against her.
Yeah.
And we saw her doing other things that we will be discussing throughout the rest of the rules here.
Mm-hmm.
And in her last tribal council, you already mentioned this. She was just sitting there while everyone around her was whispering to someone else.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, you can't claim to be a secret puppet master while literally being the only one not pulling any strings.
Yeah, and you know they're talking about you, because you're the option that's on the table. You know, it's between you and another person, and you're not even getting involved in the discussions. I mean, the thing is this strategy I know people can use, and it can work. I mean, I want to go back to, and I'm not that I'm analogizing them at all, but we talked about David already and how when he started his first, you know, Millennials versus Gen X, he was this very scared, you know, person who was very paranoid and, like I said, running away from birds. And then he turned into, I've called him Kaiser Sose. You know, I mean, he was just a genius with the game, but he did it correctly. You know, he had to obviously work through some things for himself, but he was able to kind of blossom while he was out there and turn the game into one that he could play, but he didn't make himself look dumb. And that's something that she was saying herself, that she wanted to make people think that she wasn't smart and that, you know, and so they wouldn't
see her.
But to me, like that's counterproductive on, you know, in Survivor. Like, well, you don't want people to think that you're dumb. You don't want them to think that you're a great strategist, but that doesn't mean you have to be presented as dumb.
Yeah, it reminds me of Jean Robert when he came in with the strategy, the plan that he was going to be a jerk and then get gradually nicer so that people would like him more. It's like, no, they're just going to remember that you were a jerk to start with.
Right. And that's it's a much different way when you need to have people like you and you need to have people want to play the game with you. And if you turn them off from playing the game with you right away because you present yourself in a fashion that's going to make them not want to play the game with you ever, you can't then try to fix that 12 days in or 15 days in, because it doesn't work that way in Survivor. You know, people have already made determinations about you, have already thought things about you, and there are certain things you just can't get past. And I feel like Wendy was, she was way over on the, I mean, just, there was no chance that she could come back from the way that she had been perceived because of the things she was doing. I mean, there's no logical explanation for any of it. And
right. And yeah, we'll get to those soon. But it reminds me of what happened last season with Angelina. She started off in a way that by the time that first merge vote hit, she could not win after that.
Yeah.
There was no way she could win. And the same would have been true of Wendy. If she had made it to the merge, she might have been dragged along so that she would get zero votes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's unfortunate because I think that, yes, you can have a similar type strategy coming into this game, but it can't be that. You can't present yourself in such a fashion that nobody wants to play the game with you or nobody thinks that you're even playing the game.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right. I think we can move to the second rule now, which tells players they need to avoid scheming and plotting too much. Now, listeners might wonder how Wendy could possibly break this rule if we just spent quite a long time saying she didn't really scheme and plot at all. But there are definitely ways she did it. And to start with, she didn't know how to keep her scheming secret, which is part of this rule. From the very first vote, she went against the rest of the tribe in an obvious way. And when all the others turned on Reem, she stood by her. Now, we'll talk about that more in the fourth rule, but the reasons behind it, which we'll discuss then, don't matter as much here as the simple fact that she did it.
Right.
Because remember that duos are just begging to be targeted. And as Stephanie B said on Twitter at the time, Wendy was calling out Lauren and Kelly as a threat because they're a pair, while she was showing herself to be in a tight pair with Reem.
Yeah. Yeah. And she was very vocal. I mean, to War Dog and David about that first vote. I mean, we've talked about it already. You always say yes if someone presents you an idea, and she was steadfast. No. You know what I mean? And that,
right.
So, and then all of a sudden they were like, maybe we should just vote out Wendy. You know, I mean, so it's certainly, she certainly was not keeping her scheming and plotting a secret at all. She was very, very vocal about that. And she also, I don't know if we want to get into some of the other things that she did that were very obviously not secretive, just
like,
like
giving out the so much information to her new tribe.
Yes. I mean, just like, hey, I'm going to air everybody else's dirty laundry right now, even though I might have to play that game with these people again. I'm going to tell this new tribe that I've known for all of 5 minutes everything they want to know about everybody on the other tribe, because they frustrated me and I was on the bottom. So I'm going to throw them under the bus again.
Yeah.
These are people that you're going to potentially have to play the game again with if you make the merge, and you have now severed any possible chances of working with them, because if they talk to any of the other tribe mates and find out that you were spilling your guts about everybody else, they aren't going to be very happy with you either. So you're limiting yourself in incredibly about who you can actually play the game with when you do things like that.
Right. And on top of it, giving away any information puts someone else in a better position.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Victoria, Gavin, and Eric all came into tribal council knowing that Wendy's old tribe mates were not going to go to bat for her.
Yeah.
And in fact, would join with them to vote her out, as they did after the tie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Everybody knew no one's going to go to rocks for Wendy.
Yeah, exactly. The show tried to make it seem like they were possibly going to. But yeah, there was no way it was going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so, yeah. So, I don't know. Did you have anything else about Wendy in this rule?
I don't know if we would include the Flint in this potential, you know, rule.
Probably not. We'll get to that.
All right. But no, I think that's good then.
Yeah. So we will switch back to Aubrey, who said in a web confessional for the second episode, "I think I'm overplaying a little bit." And, you know, yeah, this was after we saw her going to several of her tribe mates and trying to get in good with them by using kind of the same lines with each of them.
Yeah.
And OK, at the time and even now, I'm like, well, of course she had to make sure that she wasn't the first one out, as anyone should be doing. You know, the problem was more in the way that she did it, coming across as too eager and schemey when she had to know she was under a microscope already.
Mm-hmm.
The first paragraph of this rule says, if you spend all your time scheming and plotting and you try to scheme and plot with everybody, they will all know what you're up to. In the end, nobody will trust you and they'll turn on you. And this sounds eerily similar to what happened here.
Yeah, and we actually saw that. I mean, three of them were sitting around in the in their shelter, like comparing notes. Like, oh, that's mm-hmm. what she said to me, too. She said that to you. Yeah, she said that to me. And that's something else that you always have to be mindful of, is if you are trying to ingratiate yourself with people, they will compare notes if they have a closer relationship with each other than they have with you. And, you know, that's something that I think she didn't handle correctly. I mean, if you want to try to make a relationship with each individual person, that's fine, but you need to like approach each individual person differently, because if they do compare notes, well, then it's not going to be the same thing that she said to everybody.
Yeah. And she did say in, you know, at the time that she was worried that people would talk to each other and compare stories. And yeah, that indeed happened. As Steven said in his blog after that second week, Aubrey's shotgun strategy could work if she were a new player or a vet surrounded by other vets. But with all eyes on her, as he called it, team captain,
mm-hmm.
it's inevitable that the rest of the tribe is going to compare notes. And that's exactly what they did.
Yeah. And I feel like the approach that she and Joe took were so very different. I mean, Joe has said he's trying to play a different game, and that you don't necessarily agree that he's playing a different game, but he's at least aware of the fact that he is someone who is a returning player, who is, you know, a potential target and a threat. And so he's trying to be necessary. He's going above and beyond as far as, you know, taking care of the camp and getting food and trying to provide, to give people something else to look at him and not just be like, oh, well, he's a threat to, you know, to win everything. But no, he's actually feeding me and he's actually taking care of us at the camp. And so his strategy was much different than hers, where he was just trying to get people to like him because they wanted to appreciate what he was doing for them, where she was like, let's play this game together because we're so similar and you remind me of me. And I think that that's great. And we can go so far in this game. So that can be a little bit scary, I think, to new players if they already see you as a potential threat because you've played this game before and then you're coming at them kind of aggressively and then they find out you're doing the same thing with other players. Yeah, that's gonna be a problem for you moving forward because you already have a potential target on your back because you're a returning player, which means you might be better at this game. And now you're showing them, I'm playing this game and I'm going to play it hard.
Yeah, I mean, to get into what you said about Joe, you're right. Joe does seem to be attempting to play things differently. But let me tell you one thing. If Joe's tribe had lost, we'd be talking about him.
I don't think,
you know, what he did was better in any way, except he won the challenge for his tribe.
And I'm not saying that it's better, but it was just a different approach where he was trying to figure out a way to lessen the target on him. And so his idea was, he's not talking strategy, really. He's more concerned with camp life, food, and we're going to win challenges, where she was like, let's strategize.
Which is the same strategy that Joe's archetype has always done.
I know.
Go back to Ozzy on that one. Yes. You know, oh, if I just get them food, I'll get to stick around and win the game. Yes. No, you won't.
Yes. And it was just something that I noticed about the two of them. And not that Joe has ever done anything different necessarily when you play the game. But, you know, it is just something of note.
Yeah. Now, incidentally, and this has nothing to do with anything in terms of Aubrey or Wendy, one of the web confessionals this week was Ron talking about how, you know, his tribe has been, you know, he's brought them unity and happiness, and that's why they're winning. And the Lesu tribe is all bickering and fighting, and that's why they're losing. And I just wanted to kind of like shake the TV set and say, no, Ron, your tribe is winning because you have Joey Amazing.
Yes. You know? Yes. And that is true. They do have Joey Amazing, who is very frustrating to other people who are watching Amazing continue to win.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Which is why Joey Amazing will probably not last very much longer.
I know.
Depending. Well, we'll see. We'll see. All right. Let's go ahead and move on to the third rule, since we're going off on tangents here, which talks about being flexible. Now, I think Wendy was clearly the most flexible person who has ever played the game, right?
Oh, of course she was. She was so flexible. She was, willing to eat chickens. No, wait, she wasn't willing to eat chickens. Oh, yeah. No, I would say she was not flexible.
We've already talked about part of it. She voted with Reem, even though she knew the whole tribe was against her. She did the same with Keith, the chickens you mentioned, and we'll talk more about that in a couple minutes here, and so on and so on. And, you know, as we've already said, it didn't seem like she knew she was playing a game, let alone a social game.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing is Wendy, I was concerned for Wendy when we first were introduced to her, because she does have a very exuberant personality, you know, and she was and she did seem like she was, you know, really happy and really kind of outgoing. All of those things that could potentially come back to haunt you in a game like Survivor, because you might just be too much for people to handle. And I don't think that Wendy knew enough to kind of put that away and kind of set it aside. And maybe it was part of her, you know, master plan, where she was going to be a master strategist after they all thought, you know, these different things about her. But yeah, I mean, she really didn't take Wendy and set Wendy aside. She really kind of stuck to, well, this is who I am, and I'm big Wendy, and this is the way I'm going to be. And it's like, take it or leave it kind of thing. And obviously I don't think that worked well for her out there.
No. No. Now, Aubrey, on the other hand, I think was trying to be flexible. Mm-hmm. On her original tribe, she seemed to be aligned with Joe and Aurora, though, of course, they never went to tribal council. And we know from the Rule 2 discussion we just had that she tried to make inroads with the six other newbies, and she continued that into the swap tribe. She even seemed to have her pick of which plan she could choose, though, of course, it turned out to be fakes, and her allies on that tribe were fakes, and everything that had happened to her by that point was fake. So she tried. It just didn't go very well.
Yeah, no, unfortunately. God, I just wish she had played the idol. That would have been so amazing.
We'll get there.
I know.
All right. The fourth rule, we'll move on, tells players not to let their emotions control them. Now, I sat down to pull together my notes on this rule for Aubrey, but realized literally every note that I had related to Wendy. So how do you think Aubrey did in terms of her emotions?
Well, I feel like we saw a much different Aubrey this time than we've seen in the past two seasons where she's played. And she talked about it herself, that she's used to playing from the bottom. And I feel like we saw someone who was feeling a little more sure of herself and a little more comfortable in her approach. And I don't know if it was because she thought, I'm a returning player, and so I have to present myself differently. I don't know, but I feel like she was definitely different than what we had seen. But do I think that that was, you know, an emotional response to anything? I don't know. But I just, I feel like she was a different Aubrey. Like, I feel like she presented herself differently. She responded to things differently. You know, she certainly was, I think, willing to, like, when she was running, trying to find an idol, you know, things were a little bit, her responses to things, I think, were just different than what we had kind of become accustomed to in watching Aubrey play this game. So I don't know if that really makes sense, but I just, I just got a sense from her that she was playing from a different part of herself this time.
Okay. I do think she was still trying to play strategically, as she has in the past. And, you know, she seemed willing to go along with whatever plan Victoria proposed. She certainly wasn't going to let her emotions get in the way, like, no, I like Eric more than Wendy or anything like right. that. So in those terms, I think she did okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And she clearly was willing to dance and be kumbaya, even though she hated that. So you know, she set that aside so she could she could become closer to a tribe. But yeah, I don't know. There was just something different. There was just, I feel like there was something different about Aubrey this time. And yeah, I don't know why.
I think there was too. I think she was just in a different situation. You know, she's used to playing from the bottom, but this time she didn't even know if she was on the bottom because she was so apart from everyone.
Yeah, no, and that's a good way to, I like that. That's a good way to qualify it. Look at you figuring it out.
Yeah. Now, Wendy, on the other hand. Oi.
You said oi. I love it.
Yes. I mean, it's hard to know where to begin, but I think I'll start with a part of this rule that I actually removed when I made the jump from my now defunct Reality News Online website to Rob Has a Podcast. Because in older versions, I had a final sentence in the rule that said, quote, as a side note necessitated by Survivor 2, I guess I should add that you shouldn't form emotional bonds with any animals either, especially if they will be food. This was one of the reasons Kimmy ended up losing, end quote. So I removed that portion because by the time I started on RHAP, it seemed so obvious that it was silly to even say it anymore. But now I'm thinking I might have to add it back in.
You should, because people are getting money for being good to the animals on Survivor, yeah. Remember?
Yeah, I mean, you know, after the swap, Rick commented that Wendy was still with her tightest alliance, the chickens.
Mm-hmm.
And this was sad, funny, and true all at the same time. Victoria even said of her, you'd rather get voted out than see a chicken die? That's bizarre. And yeah, it is bizarre. And it's even worse when we get more information. Because on Twitter, someone replied to me in defense of Wendy and the chickens, and Victoria jumped in and responded, I must clear this up. Chickens are not a native species to Fiji. Because they were released, production will recapture them after the season and then give them to locals who will kill them.
Mm-hmm.
I was a vegetarian for 2 years, but let's not be idiotic. We were absolutely starving.
Yeah. And the other thing, too, that, you know, as far as chickens, and I understand that it's certainly not going to be a fun thing to do to have to kill an animal so then you can eat it when you're out playing this game. I mean, and no one is claiming that, but, you know,
she didn't even have to kill it. I mean, that's the thing. Because even Angelina from last season pointed out on Twitter that she'd been a vegetarian for 8 years. And she understood that her tribe mates had to eat. She said Carl and Davy killed the chicken away from the camp, brought back the meat, and she had rice ready for them in the pot.
Yes. And that's what I'm. So if it's something like if you are so opposed to that part of it where we have to kill an animal in order to have food, then yes, have somebody else do that for you and let someone else handle it and take care of it, because it's not going to be easy and it's going to be difficult. But that's why you're given the chickens, is so you can actually eat the chickens. Yeah. But, you know, she ended up making a decision for her entire tribe instead of making a decision just for herself. Like, Angelina, I'm not going to eat the chickens, but you guys go right ahead because that's what you want to do. I'm just not going to be a part of it. Whereas Wendy was like, I'm not going to be a part of it, and none of you are going to be a part of it either. So I'm going to hide the flint. I'm going to release the chickens. And that's the type of thing that you're not playing Survivor anymore. Like that's a whole different level, because you are negatively affecting your tribe physically. You know, if you don't want to take part in it, fine, that's on you. But you're now affecting everybody else on your tribe, which is unfair to them because you're the one who made that decision.
Yeah, and it was done in such a weird way, because it was discussed on last week's Wiggle Room that Victoria also pointed out on Twitter that Wendy ate fish at camp.
Yeah.
And while I do know that some people see a difference between eating chicken and fish, and by the way, no, Rob, chickens are not mammals. Wendy needed to explain to her tribe why there was a difference to her, if she expected them to understand where she was coming from. Now, mind you, in a response on Twitter, Wendy claimed the fish, quote unquote, poisoned them, which seemed to rather offend Eric, who had provided those fish. And, you know, and then on top of that, viewers heard Wendy say she wanted a cheeseburger after she was voted out.
Now, yeah, even though she said she was going to then become a vegetarian.
Right. I mean, by that point, it didn't affect her game anymore, so it wasn't necessarily pertinent. But it just shows how weird the overall situation was.
Yeah.
And on top of all of that, Wendy may have had the opportunity to avoid the problem altogether if she had just spoken up sooner. Because I asked Wardog on Twitter after episode 3 whether Wendy had said anything about refusing to allow killing of the chickens before the tribe decided on their reward. And Wardog said that David, Wendy, and Rick said they wanted comfort. He, Kelly, and Lauren wanted chickens. And Chris eventually broke the tie in favor of chickens. But Wendy just said she wanted comfort. She didn't specify why. And I feel like if she had told them she was morally opposed to killing the chickens, the whole situation could have been avoided. They would, you know, even if they weren't happy about it, if they knew what was going to end up happening, they had just chosen comfort, and then that would have been the end of it.
Right.
But once again, she apparently didn't explain herself.
Yeah. And it's, I don't know. I just feel like it's just not okay. It's just not okay to end up taking a stance on something that can affect your tribe in such a, it's just, I don't know. When it comes to food, and I'm sorry, I'm struggling here because I'm just thinking of the situation that I went through when I was playing the game where Taylor was hiding food. Like, he literally took food and buried it and hid it from everybody. When you are on an island with all of these other people and everybody is hungry, I understand it's a game and you want to win, but that's not going to help you win. If people find out that that's what you did, you're certainly not going to win. And David even asked Wendy, you want to win this game, don't you? Like, that's not going to be a winning argument if you're sitting in a final three. Like, I saved the chickens. No, you took food out of hungry people's mouths. And it's the same thing that, you know, we would have said to Taylor, is that you don't take food from hungry people and then somehow expect that someone's going to respect that move, that like, oh, look at you, you're such a master strategist because you released the chickens, or you hid food, or you took food out of hungry people's mouths. I mean, that's not playing Survivor. That's playing dirty. That's putting yourself
playing emotionally.
Yes, it's absolutely playing emotionally, and it's putting yourself above everybody else, which is just unfair. I just think that's really unfair.
Yeah. Now, there's one final point I want to make about the chickens, and I want to quote Wendy herself. She said in a web confessional last week that she snuck out at night and released them, acting like she was super secretive and the others didn't know, which, of course, they did. And then she said, quote, literally, there is no sense in what I'm doing. It is not to further my game. It is because I want these chickens not to die.
Yeah.
And OK, well, that about sums it up. She was doing this for emotional reasons, but admitted there was no sense to it. And it wasn't to help her on Survivor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then even worse, if you go back to what Victoria said on Twitter, they were going to die anyway.
Oh, yeah. No, they're certainly not going to last out there. They will not last.
No. So, all right. Enough with the chickens already. I hear people saying that.
Yes.
But Wendy had problems with this rule even before the chickens showed up. We discussed in the third rule how she refused to turn on Reem and Keith, even when she knew the rest of the tribe was doing so, saying she wouldn't vote for her, quote, friend Reem. And this is the origin of her inflexibility that we discussed a little while ago. Once again, it wasn't strategic, but emotional. She made a friend in the first couple days, and for that, she was willing to go against her entire tribe. She basically ended her whole game before it even had a chance to begin.
Yeah. Yeah, that first vote is very telling as to the divisions and where people kind of fall in the pecking order. And she...
There you go, back to the chickens again.
Back to the chickens. She definitely shined a very big light on herself when she said, nope, not going to do that. I want to go this route, and this is what I want to do. Yeah, I mean, at that point, you are, if you want to be at the bottom of the tribe, you've certainly put yourself there.
Yeah. I mean, even Keith switched sides on that first vote. So,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, because he saw what was happening. He was like, I don't want to be on a sinking ship. So yeah. I'm going to go back and I'm going to talk to these people and try to save my own game.
I mean, he didn't want to be on a sinking ship because he couldn't swim. But, you know, he had no life vest.
That's true.
So, all right, to close out this rule, I want to talk about something Wendy said on Twitter. Because we all saw and heard lots of people saying Wendy was saving the chickens for the sea of money. And Wendy responded saying she didn't do this for the money. She saved a small life because she thought it was the correct thing to do. She voted with her friend because it was the correct thing to do. A quote, agree with me or not, I seek adventure, not money or adoration. And all that's fine. But as I noted at the top of the podcast, we analyze each player's loss in terms of trying to win the game.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that wasn't her overarching goal and she believed other matters were more important. And that's fine for her. But we have to point out when she makes game mistakes. She said she was going to play ditzy coming in and then become a secret mastermind. But this wasn't pretending to be clueless as part of a grand scheme. It was simply choosing emotion over strategy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
So, all right, well, we might as well continue with Wendy as we move to the fifth rule, which discusses how players have to pretend to be nice and play the social game. And obviously, all the commotion she caused with the chickens was terrible social game, as well as being emotional. You already said it. You can't tell starving players, no, I won't let you eat this food and expect to be well liked. Mm-hmm. You can't steal the flint when fire is life. You can't release the chickens right after the tribes are swapped and think you're making a good first impression. And then something we didn't even see, she said on Twitter that she called Victoria, quote, sticky Vicky, because she spilled some coconut milk on herself. And making up degrading nicknames is also not a great way to make friends and influence people. But she did all of these things and people unsurprisingly weren't very happy about it.
Yeah. And I got to talk about the flint thing for just like a couple of minutes, too, because somehow she thought no one was going to know that she stole the flint. And when she's approached about it, she denies it, that she took the flint. But then magically the flint appears again and she's everybody knew she took it. Everybody thought it was crazy that she took the flint, but she was willing to do something that, again, not only are you negatively affecting their ability to, you know, cook the chickens, you're also affecting their ability to just have a fire. You know what I mean? Like, that's
right.
That's another part of your, you know, needed components when you're out there. Like, you need to have a fire, you need to stay warm. And she hid the flint. So all of that is being very selfish and is certainly not going to ingratiate you to your tribe. And, you know, you're lying to them. You're taking things away from them. You're affecting their ability to even have certain things. All of it's bad. It's just all bad.
Yeah. Now,
but she was nice. I will say that she always had a smile on her face and she always seemed very pleasant, but that's not.
Well, I mean, you say that, but this is where I was about to get to is it leads to a situation that's a bit difficult to discuss because if you'll pardon the phrase, we have a chicken and egg situation regarding Wendy's position in her tribe, because she said on Twitter, it was never her not wanting to be part of the original Manu tribe. It was always others pushing her away. And you know, she feels like she had to deal with a bully mentality among them. What makes this difficult to discuss is that we weren't there. We saw the secret scene with several people on the tribe making fun of her ankle injury and the way she was hopping along, which led to some blocking of tribe mates on Twitter. It certainly didn't look good for them. But that was a 1 minute slice of time when she had already started her anti-chicken killing crusade, which made people not very happy with her.
Right.
I'm not defending those who were making fun of her injury, but Survivor is a social game, and that sometimes means acting in ways you wouldn't otherwise act, like singling out someone you want to target. Was it bullying? I would not call it that from what we saw. We have seen bullying on Survivor. We have seen some real a-holes on Survivor. This was not that, I don't think. Was it others pushing her away? Well, maybe, but she set herself apart from the very first vote, like you just said. And then she kept on doing it time and time again. Mm-hmm. I think David said it best in a web confessional by noting that she was both being ostracized and had set herself apart from the others. You know, David and Rick tried to reel her in, but she appeared bound and determined to follow her own path. And again, you know, I keep making this comparison. In life, that can be great. In Survivor, it can often end up in a situation where you're out on an island by yourself. And I'm not talking about Extinction Island, though obviously that's where this helped land her.
Yeah, and I do think that Rick and David really did try. They certainly tried to keep her in the fold and to bring her back and talk to her reasonably. And unfortunately, she really was steadfast in her approach and how she was going to handle things with the tribe and how she was going to play the game. And unfortunately, that really did cause her to be on the outs, even though they really, I mean, they tried multiple times to bring her back in, because obviously she was great. She was a great smokescreen, according to David. So
yes,
didn't work out that way for him, though, or for Wendy, yeah, for that matter.
Yeah. Now, compare this situation to the one that Aubrey was in, as we remind ourselves, this is not just about Wendy. And she was on the Kumbaya Kama tribe. Mm-hmm. They were all happy and dancing, having the time of their lives, except Aubrey wasn't really. You already mentioned this. She told us in episode 2 that she hated that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But she was doing whatever she could to fit in and pretend to love it, going so far as to twerk with Ron in
I
one of their
know!
Kama cheers.
Oh, that was such a disturbing dance scene. But yes, kudos to her for doing that, because that's the type of thing you have to do when you play this game, is you want people to want to play the game with you, and you want to be an enjoyable presence to be around. And she realized that I could be out because I am a returning player, so clearly I'm coming from a different place, and I want to be part of this group that, you know, we've all become, you know, placed on, if you will. Like, we're all in this tribe together. I want to actually be a member and I want to be with these people. Yeah, so I think she did a great job of setting aside her own personal beliefs and, you know, not wanting to dance kind of desires, but she set all that aside and she did it anyway. And I think she really tried to form bonds with people, even though it was a difficult spot for her to be in.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say that nobody wanted Aubrey out for any reason involving her social game, except maybe that they were worried she was too good at it, which brings us nicely to the sixth rule.
Yes, that's a very good point.
Yeah, which warns players they cannot be too much of a threat. But this is a problem inherent in being a returning player in this situation. It's very difficult not to be thought of as a threat right off the bat, because if you weren't a threat, you probably wouldn't be brought back in a mixed season with new players.
Right.
And in Aubrey's specific circumstances, she made it deep in the game twice, and many people thought she should have won the first time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I was looking through my old Reality News Online articles for a version of the rules with the chicken warning that I had mentioned earlier, I stumbled on my interviews with this guy. You may have heard of him. His name is Rob Cesternino.
That guy.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. So I interviewed him about All-Stars 15 years and 1 month ago.
Wow.
And I told him, I said, yeah, it seems pretty obvious that you were voted off because everybody else on your tribe was afraid of letting you go further. Is this also your assessment of why you lost? And Rob replied, well, David, I think that's what happened. I got targeted like one of the winners without ever having won the game. Now, mm-hmm. that sounds familiar to me.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of the individuals on her tribe, I think, you know, Eric talked about it. Ron talked about it as well, that, you know, Victoria mentioned it in a web confessional too, that they know the game Aubrey can play, and they know that she's very good at bringing people in and forming relationships with people. And maybe that's why everyone was trying to keep her on the outs, because they were so afraid that that's one of her strong points. One of her strong points really is creating bonds with people and forming very close relationships that will get her to the end of the game. And Eric was even considering playing the game with her because she was so good at it, because he thought that would help him get further along. And so I do think that that was where Aubrey's threat came from, was her likability factor and her social skills. And that part of her gameplay was so scary, I think, to people on her tribe, that perhaps that's why they kept her at a distance.
Yeah, and you're right. Every single one of her original Kama tribe mates who were with her on the new tribe, they had web confessionals about it. And like you said, they all talked about it and described her as a savvy social player. They didn't want to miss an opportunity to get her out because she could be ultra dangerous at the merge. Eric figured he could beat Wendy at the end, but maybe not Aubrey. Gavin talked about her experience in the game also, and if he played with her, she'd be driving, he'd be a passenger, whereas if he dragged Wendy along, he'd be in charge.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, what Victoria said, that, you know, she's trying to get in with everyone, etc. But the thing is, that was all later. And even back while the Kama tribe seemed all kumbaya originally, they were already decidedly anti-returnee.
Yeah.
Because the very first secret scene showed Kama on day two with Ron, Julie, and Julia talking about loving both returning players, but not wanting it to be the Joe and Aubrey show.
Mm-hmm.
And then having Gavin and Eric likewise talk about taking them out. And from, you know, coming up to this episode, Victoria's web confessional, she said the Kama Six had a plan from the beginning that Aubrey would go first.
I know. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and then even Julia, who was, you know, part of original Kama, but wasn't swapped to Aubrey's tribe, said in a web confessional this week that she was happy to see Aubrey go because Aubrey was a Joe ally, and that means there's one less number for Joe. And this goes along with the thought that Rob mentioned on one of the podcasts this week, that things might have worked out better for David and Kelly because they were not obviously working together at the start, while Joe and Aubrey were seen as doing so, which only added to the threat level. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, they came in and there was a target on her from day one that just wasn't there, apparently, for David and Kelly. It's these two views of some people think they can work with a returnee. Some people think they need to immediately get rid of a returnee.
Yeah. And I think she was put in that category that she needed to go.
Right.
You know, which is unfortunate, because I think Aubrey was hoping that she was going to be viewed differently than the returning players, because she, as she called herself, you know, I'm a loser, really. Like, I lost. Like, I didn't win. Whereas you've got someone like Kelly who is really great at finding idols, and you've got David, who's really great at finding idols, and you've got Joe, who's just really great at everything, you know, where she thought that she was going to be seen differently than those three players. But this just speaks volumes of the social component of this game and how much it matters, and that everyone saw her as a threat because of her social gameplay. And so it doesn't matter that you can find idols or not find idols. That's not top of the list. When people are looking at a returning player and what they bring to the table and what type of threat level they have, that's Aubrey's threat right there, is that she's very good at working with people, and she's very good at kind of maneuvering her way through various groups and being involved in the decisions and making it all the way to the end almost twice. So I do think that even though Aubrey came into it thinking she would be viewed differently, she was viewed differently. She was viewed as a really big threat. You know? So, yeah.
Yeah. And I should note that I think Aubrey tried to get past being a threat, such as in the way she was having those one-on-one conversations with her tribe mates and joining in the group fun, even if she didn't like it. But the problem is, because she was seen as being a social threat by trying to be social, those conversations were turned around and used against her as proof that she was the social threat that they all thought she was. So, you know, it was almost a no-win situation in that regard, because she wanted to use her biggest tool, but her biggest tool was also her biggest target.
That's very good.
So, all right. So you mentioned that other people were known for finding idols and everything, and she wasn't known for that. But of course, she did. And the seventh rule talks about getting and playing idols and advantages. I don't think we have anything to say about Wendy.
No, I don't think so. We didn't say anything about her being a threat either, just so you know.
Oh, you're right. Wow, how did that? How did I forget about that? Well, okay. I don't think she was a threat. Do you?
I'm sorry, I'm laughing so hard. That was great. I'm going to go with no.
Okay, so there. Now we've officially said something about Wendy in terms of that rule.
We've covered it.
Yeah, I guess I just blanked on that because there was a zero there. So
that was really funny.
Anyway, yeah. So
sorry, I didn't mean to throw you off there.
That's okay. I did not even realize that I had no notes for her being a threat. So,
so I mean, back really to idols and advantages.
Yeah. So, yes, where we will again talk about Aubrey, because, well, okay. Props to her for searching and searching and searching till she found the idol. On the other hand, she went home with both an idol and an advantage in her pocket.
I
so
know.
Clearly something went wrong.
So bad.
Yeah, you know, her advantage wouldn't have helped her here, so there's nothing to say about that. But Aubrey said in a web confessional for her boot episode, well, actually, you've already talked about this, that she had to plan for when to use the idol. And she was talking, you know, trying to convey what we just talked about. I'm less of a threat. They're the one, you know, the other returnees are more of a threat. And I think she just believed she had convinced her tribe mates that, you know, she was on their side. They were on her side, so she could hold on to the idol longer. But as we discussed earlier, her tribe mates were better schemers and actors than she thought.
Yeah, they really were, because my God, that has got to be so painful to be voted out and have an idol in your pocket when that happens. Oh, God, that's got to be terrible.
Yeah, so Elizabeth from last season asked on Twitter, and also she posed this question for the recap podcast with Gabby. Why did Lauren get props for not playing her idol while Aubrey got criticized for not playing hers? And to me, the answer is twofold. First, one thing we've talked about before is that it's infinitely better to, I mean, like mathematically true, infinitely better to play an idol when you don't need one than it is to not play one when you do.
Mm-hmm.
And second, it just depends on the situation. Lauren seemed very secure in both situations because there were logical reasons why she determined that she was safe. Aubrey also had reasons to believe that she was safe, but they were not as tangible, I guess. And you know, she had been fooled when she should have maybe been on her guard a bit more, considering the way she had felt on the outs previously. You know, if this had happened one tribal council sooner, I think she'd have played it. But in just those couple of days, she got fooled. In the words of Richard Hatch, she got bamboozled.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's she just fell for it, I guess, is the best way and also the worst way to say it.
There was a lot of foreshadowing, I feel like, because the amount of confessionals we heard from her where she was like, I don't know what I'm even supposed to do with this. There's so much power. Like, it's like, I don't know what to do. It's like, I have a nuclear warhead in my backyard. I don't want my neighbors to see it. You know, like, it really was almost all consuming to her, like, how best to play this idol. And again, I don't think she let it happen organically. Sometimes you can't plan for these things. You have to be able to read people, and you have to kind of read the room and figure out if now is my time, instead of this grandiose idea of I'm going to try to get the votes on me, and then I'm going to play the idol and have this like aha moment and look like I'm an incredible player. I do think that she misread some of what was happening. I've already talked about that I mm-hmm. her spidey senses were not, I think, where they needed to be. She got too comfortable. And I don't know if maybe she lost sight of all that had been happening, because she kind of got lost in this idea of what do I do with this idol, you know, where it became too much for her to actually like process, you know, where it needed to be grand. And it's just grand if you play an idol and you're right. You know, if you play an idol and you save yourself, amazing. You know, like, that's incredible. That's a great moment. You don't need to plan for that, but you need to be able to determine when that's potentially going to happen. And I do think that she fell for it. She really did. She fell for some really great acting.
Yeah. I think, you know, you said you got to be able to read the room. And clearly we've already talked about that. She was fooled.
Mm-hmm.
It almost is an argument for not relying on your reading abilities, which is a, you know, a weird thing to say when it comes to an idol, but to rely on logic instead.
Yeah.
You know, Lauren has used logic, I believe, to figure out when she should not play the idol, because logically speaking, it wouldn't have made sense for it to happen in that way. Aubrey, if she had used a little bit more logic, she just said, well, wait a minute, I was in trouble, and now suddenly I'm safe. Maybe I should play this just in case.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%.
So, all right, well, that moves us to Appendix A, which is about the rest of the tribe keeping their end goals in mind when voting. And a big part of the rule is that they should, whenever possible, vote out the weak, then the strong, then the weak, then the strong. I can tell from what players are saying that many of them are looking ahead to the merge already, which often makes them want to vote out strong players. In Aubrey's case, I think that's exactly what happened, though, you know, it's possible the vote would have been the same if Kama had lost the very first immunity challenge. As we discussed, she was supposedly, at least potentially, target number one. But They certainly wanted to get rid of the strong threat in front of them, as we discussed.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I completely agree with that. I do think that they're all looking down the road, end game. And I think that Aubrey was, even though they decided she's got to go first, I think that was end game thoughts as well. It wasn't necessarily immediate. They were concerned with her getting too far in the game and potentially causing them to not win, because she would still be there at the end. So I do think that they still had that mindset, even though it would have been early on in the game.
Yeah. Now, as for Wendy, it's not so simple as strong versus weak, because it was a combined tribal council. And as I mentioned early in the podcast, it wouldn't have mattered anyway if Nu Manu had gone to vote on their own. Either way, it was a situation where the tribe needed to keep their own number solid, and she was not one of them. No matter what they might have said around camp, none of them was going to risk their game by going to rocks for Wendy. And I was glad that they heard me screaming that at the TV and they made the right decision. You know, you have predictions that go back in time. I scream at the TV and it goes back in time.
It's perfect. See?
All right. So I think we've come to the end here. Do you have any final thoughts?
Final thoughts. Well, I will start with Wendy. I do think that Wendy was... she was a force out there for sure. She came into this game very aware of who she was and how she wanted to be seen and how she wanted to present herself. She certainly didn't leave any of that at the door. And I was concerned with her when we first met Wendy, when we were getting to know Wendy, that she might be a little bit too much out there. And that doesn't mean she's not a great person. I just think that sometimes when you play Survivor, and I've talked about this in relationship to myself, sometimes you have to put Jessica in the box. Wendy probably should have put Wendy in a box just a little bit, you know, because I do think that that affected her ability to play this game. I don't think she would have been a master strategist as she was planning on becoming. I think she made too many decisions for the wrong reasons. She made too many decisions that were seen as selfish, that were not a benefit for her tribe. And unfortunately, these are the people that you want to have vote for you in the end. And I don't know how anyone would have been voting for Wendy in the end, knowing that she took food from them, that she caused them to not be able to make a fire, that she negatively affected them on such a personal level, that I just don't think anyone would have been able to overcome that and say, yes, I'm going to win, you know, you're going to win based on that type of gameplay. So I think that unfortunately, Wendy's decisions really were too much about Wendy and not enough about the tribe and not enough about strategy and wanting to actually win Survivor. As for Aubrey, it was very sad to see Aubrey go. Aubrey is one of my favorites. She always has been. And I really wanted her to play from the bottom like she said she always had. That's what I wanted her to realize in that moment, that that's what she's accustomed to. And that's what she needed to be doing, because she still was on the bottom. And she just fell hook, line and sinker for an incredible presentation by Victoria and company, who led her down a path. And unfortunately, that path brought her to Exile Island. So it was very sad to see her go home, especially with Idol in her pocket, the advantage. It would have been great to see Aubrey make the merge and really get to start working on the components we've talked about, her social game and the other people on the other tribes, and maybe even getting together with Kelly and David and seeing what kind of havoc they could all wreak together. That would have been great to see. Unfortunately, but maybe not unfortunately, she's got a chance to come back in. I can't forget that. But yeah, so Aubrey, I think she struggled with two components. One being a returning player, which put an immediate target on her back. And unfortunately, the other part of that was she was playing with newbies that really know how to play this game. And they were looking at her as a threat immediately, and made a decision, she's got to go first. And they stuck to that plan and they made it happen. So unfortunately, Aubrey went to Exile Island. Those
or
are my
Extinction
thoughts.
Island.
Oh, Extinction Island. Am I calling? That's right. It's not Exile Island. It's Extinction Island.
I only have to correct you so Twitter doesn't. So.
No, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. All right. Well, before I started putting together my notes for this podcast, I expected to talk a lot more about Aubrey than Wendy. But we saw Wendy do so much wrong. While Aubrey really only made a couple mistakes as far as we could tell, it just happened that Aubrey's mistakes were immediately fatal to her game, while Wendy was allowed to keep on going for a while, in part because her gameplay was so bad. Indeed, the only reason Wendy lasted as long as she did was because so many players followed the same logic that David Wright did and were using her as a smokescreen. Rob even worried repeatedly on his podcasts that she'd end up in the final three for this reason. Luckily, that didn't happen. A couple times now I've mentioned that the rules are premised on the idea that a player actually wants to win the game. To quote again from the introduction to the rules, Survivor is a game and the goal is to win, period. That is the basic assumption here, and these rules can lead good players to that end goal. You mentioned earlier, David Wright even asked Wendy a couple episodes ago, you want to win, don't you? Wendy replied, yeah, of course I do. Well, that's what she said. But as we saw on TV and as we discussed here, actions speak louder than words, and her actions definitely did not give the same answer. As I mentioned in the fourth rule, she even talked about saving the chickens and said, literally, there is no sense in what I'm doing. It is not to further my game. It seems like the same could be said about several other actions she took as well. Wendy said she had a plan coming in, pretending to be ditzy, but hiding her real strategic abilities. if Wendy was truly only playing Dom, then bravo to her for being such a great actress. But she overdid the role. She put herself so far on the outs through her actions that there was no way back in. She annoyed players on two different tribes with the chicken situation and allowing her emotions to drive her actions. She was a wild card and an outsider who basically stood alone, much like in her final tribal council when everyone was talking and strategizing except her. Aubrey made some mistakes as well, but nothing even close to what Wendy did. And Aubrey started with a situation where new players were talking about taking her out from day one. Obviously, this was because she came in as a threat and wasn't because of anything she did or said to start with. Steven said in his blog that in Aubrey's defense, you can't run from a target that has nothing to do with your game. He added that Aubrey was targeted not because of her personality or her gameplay, but simply because she's a returnee. He was mostly right, though not entirely. Her gameplay did have an impact, as we discussed, but it unfortunately served to make her seem like more of a threat rather than dissipating some of the fear the others had about her. Once Aubrey was the target, the rest of her original Kama tribe simply outplayed her. Victoria gave her what she was looking for, an ally who thought like her and was actually playing the game, someone who was willing to scheme with her and not just make one, but two possible plans. She just didn't realize that both of those plans were fake. And the others did such a good job that it made Aubrey feel comfortable enough to keep her idol in her pocket when she obviously should not have. Aubrey needed to keep a little bit of paranoia, to keep herself on the edge like she had been when she played Survivor previously. Wendy just needed to remember that she was playing Survivor and there was a game going on around her. And that is why Aubrey and Wendy lost.
That's incredible. Oh, that's great. Very good.
All right. Prediction time.
No.
Merge time.
Return from
Edge of Extinction time.
I know. I'm so excited.
And that's about all we know. Once again, we find ourselves shooting mostly in the dark. So let's start by predicting who comes back to the game. We know that there's going to be a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
On the one hand, Chris has the advantage of being able to practice tying sticks together. On the other hand, he's going to get the disadvantage of having extra knots to untie.
Mm-hmm.
Keith is lucky that it doesn't appear to involve swimming. But remembering back to our Why Keith Lost podcast, he wasn't exactly good in any aspect of challenges that we saw.
Mm-hmm.
Reem, I guess, could yell at the challenge, but I don't think she can win it. And so,
oh, I'm sorry.
So, that's okay. So I'm going to say it comes down to Aubrey, Wendy, or Rick. Rick is smart. Wendy has been described as scrappy at challenges. I think Victoria called her that. But Aubrey has a great deal more experience with just about every possible challenge here. And I feel like that gives her an edge that I don't think the others will be able to overcome. So my prediction is that Aubrey's coming right back into the game.
See, I think that would be incredible if that happened. But I'm going to go with Rick because he was my winner pick. So I want him to come back. And I did.
So hold on. You're playing emotionally is what you're telling me?
No. I'm not playing emotionally. I was going to add that I didn't want it to be an emotional decision. So I checked.
Oh, okay.
I checked with my magic eight ball because I know that you love my magic eight ball. And my magic eight ball said yes, definitely, that he's coming back in. So
okay, well then, Rick, clearly, who can argue with that?
Right? Exactly. It's science. So that's my pick is who's coming back.
All right. Well, now we have to figure out who leaves. If I'm right and Aubrey comes back, I would hope she would convince Joe and Aurora that all their geese are cooked if they try to stand with, you know, Kama strong. If they're smart, they will flip to the other two returnees plus their own allies to form a majority of seven against the Kama six. At that point, they'll either target the strongest challenge competitor, which could be someone like Eric or Gavin, or Aubrey will direct them to target a strong strategist in the form of Victoria. I think that they will want to go with challenge strength, and I'm going to predict that we're saying goodbye to Eric this week.
Ah, that's interesting. Yeah. Oh, God, I hate this.
Yeah.
It's just, I'm so bad at this. I feel like, though, if Aubrey comes back, even though I don't believe she would play emotionally, I do think that she would be really, really angry at the people that took her out of the game. And I do think that she would be looking at Victoria. But I think it's going to be Rick that comes back. So I have to figure that into my decision making here. I just don't know. Oh, my God.
You got to pick a name.
I know. I know. I have to pick. All right. Let's see. Who do I think it's going to be? All right. So Rick comes back. So we've got David, Rick, Kelly, and Lauren, and War Dog will all be together. Oh, God. This is so painful. Gavin.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Gavin, even though that makes me sad because I really like Gavin, but I'm going to go with Gavin.
Okay. All right. I don't know how they get there, but okay.
I don't know either, but I feel like, because here's the thing, Gavin and Victoria are clearly very good when it comes to the social component of this game. They're going to come back and now it's going to be a merge and you're going to have someone like David who is going to be looking for people who, I don't think David is going to be concerned about anybody who is physical or, you know, a physical presence or a physical threat. I think he's going to be more concerned about the people who are really thinking game, and Gavin is clearly thinking game. And that's why I think Victoria is probably going to be in that same kind of pocket, if you will. But I think that that's what David's going to be focusing on, is people who are really good game players as opposed to people who are just good at challenges.
Okay. All right. Well, we will see what happens. And, once again, since we got two different predictions, we can still each be 50% right. Well, we'll just have to see.
Right. And do you remember in my prediction last week, I said something crazy is going to happen and Wendy's going to go home. And look,
yeah, and you
something
were right.
Crazy happened.
Yeah. I mean, sending Wendy home wasn't all that crazy.
No, but getting there was what was crazy. Yeah.
Yes, that's true. All right. As we wrap things up here, I want to remind everyone to follow us on Twitter, where Jessica is at JessicaLewis89 and I am at David Bloomberg. Make sure to follow both of us so you can see the whole conversation all week, including my live tweeting during the airing of the show in Eastern and Central Time, and Jessica's also. And also, if you're following the survivors and me, then you may get to see some of these Twitter press conferences that go on during that time.
Mm-hmm.
Also, be sure to check out the RHAP patron program so you can support all of the RHAP podcasts. You can do that by heading over to robhasawebsite.com/patron and take a look at the various levels to find out what kind of perks you get, from special podcasts. You can get a bell if you know for the high enough level, and much more. Of course, my favorite perk is the patron Facebook group. So once you get there, make sure to say hello to both of us. Like I said, check out everything at robhasawebsite.com/patron. It is hashtag time. I have a couple, and one of them came out of nowhere, and I think it's appropriate for, if you remember that I even said it, hashtag pecking order.
I like it. Yes. Pecking All order right. is great.
Okay. So, and of course, there's the hashtag for this podcast overall, YXLost. Make sure you're getting all the Survivor commentary you can handle by subscribing to all of the RHAP Survivor podcasts at robhasapodcast.com/survivor, or just, you know, look us up on your favorite podcatcher. We are also on the reality TV Wrap-Ups feed. In both places, you'll find all that great content, you know, like the Know-It-Alls, the Wiggle Room, This Week in Survivor, the B&B, and much more. With that, I would like to say thanks to Scott St. Pierre, who does the editing on all the Why Blank Lost podcasts. He did a great job last week with putting in that background news music and, dropping in the theme song where he did. So appreciate that.
That was quite nice. Also, thank you.
Yes. Also, thanks, as always, to Will from America for the theme song. And thanks to you, Jessica, for braving a Survivor episode about David Wright and rocks.
I know it was very difficult to do, but I had to get through it. And I was successful, and unfortunately, nobody had to draw rocks because they could have joined a very small community of three and been, you know, the fourth addition to our little crew of people who have gone out on a rock.
But now, you know, there's some other countries that had rock draws.
Yes, but I'm talking, if we're just talking about ours. But yeah, so we can throw those in too. So they can be part of our club as well.
Affiliate members.
Yes, exactly. But yes, thank you very much for also another great episode. And it was a little bit longer than usual, clearly, because we're talking about two people. But yeah.
Two people, yep.
We got through it.
So, all right. Well, we will see everyone back here in 1 week after the merge. Bye.
Bye-bye. If you lost Survivor and you're feeling down, David and Jessica will turn it around. They'll break down the rules and they'll show you how. You played yourself and got voted out. This is why Blank lost. And this is why Blank lost. Oh, baby, this is why Blank lost.
At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.